Amen. Let's go ahead and take our Bibles this morning to Mark chapter number 16. Mark chapter number 16. I know that this week, this Sunday is what they would usually call Palm Sunday. And we've been looking around the cross, been looking around what's been happening in the last few weeks. We looked at the cross a little bit. We looked at Mary anointing Jesus a little bit. We looked last week about Jesus in the garden. This morning, I'd like to focus on the resurrection. And you say, well, that's for next Sunday. Well, normally when we have a Easter program, the message is a little shorter, and it's majority, it's a gospel-type message. So most years, we don't get to have an entire sermon unless we do it on Sunday evening about the resurrection. So this morning, I'd like to look a little bit about the first Easter sermon, You can see here, the angel had a message to give to the ladies. And as you look at that, I want you to see that the message or the sermon that they gave is something we can apply into our life today. As you read the story, you're going to see the message is really short from the angel. Don't worry, my message won't be that short. But it's got to be a little bit about the message there to this morning about Jesus. He did come to die. He came to seek and to save that which was lost and that was needed for Christ to die, to pay our penalty, to pay our sin debt for us. If you're not sure of your eternal home, you can know that even today, and because of the price that he paid for us. The first Easter sermon. So we're going to look here in Mark chapter 16. I was trying to decide between Mark and Matthew. The stories are very similar, but there's some really powerful messages here that the angel speaks to these ladies, and he tells them to pass it on to the other believers. Mark chapter 16, verse number 1, and it says, "And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him." So if we saw Jesus die, and then Jesus was taken off the cross by Joseph of Arimathea with the help of Nicodemus, they put him inside a tomb, Joseph's tomb. They put some spices on him, but because of a lack of preparation, they wasn't able to complete the job. So the ladies waited these days, waited until after the Sabbath was over, and then headed towards the tomb to anoint the body of Christ. They believed he was dead. That the whole purpose that was there. They thought he was dead, and they wanted to finish the job that Joseph and Nicodemus had began. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, that's why we call Sunday the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, "Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre?" Most of you would know the story. When Jesus was buried, they put a large stone. It was sealed by the governor, and the idea that they were afraid that the disciples were going to come and steal the body away. So they put a guard out there, and they sealed the tomb with a very large stone to try to protect people from stealing the body. And when they looked, they saw the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. So at a distance, they were able to see the stone that was rolled away. And entering into the sepulchre. Now, if you go and you research it out some, you see the Matthew, the Mark, the Luke, and John, you'll see that you might think there's some discrepancies when they came to the tomb, when they left, when Jesus appeared, when Jesus didn't. At this point in time, I believe Mary Magdalene saw that the stone was rolled away, and she went off to go see Peter and John, because you'll see later on Peter and John return. They see that the body's not there. John leaves believing. Peter leaves. We don't know how his response was. Then from that, Mary Magdalene is there, and she's weeping, and she is the first that Jesus appears to. So by that point in time, the ladies have already gone. They're starting to head back. And then later on, Jesus appears to those ladies. So there is not a discrepancy. There's always an answer. Sometimes it takes a little bit extra study. Sometimes it takes just a little bit of understanding what the scriptures are saying. And some things we're just going to have to wait and learn when we get up to heaven. But these ladies, I believe, besides Mary Magdalene, head toward the tomb. They see the stones rolled away. They do not know that the body's not there at that point in time, so they're going, still planning on anointing him. And when they saw it in verse number 4, "And when they looked, they saw that stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted." Now, if you listen to the other passages of Scripture, the appearance of the man, especially his clothing, was something that was very shiny, very bright, and they were afraid of what they saw. Sometimes people have these pictures of angels, you see these TV shows and things like that, but every time that anybody ever saw an angel or a message from the Lord, they had to say, "Fear not." And the reason why is because they are a very intimidating, very fearful-looking figure. Verse number 6, and he saith unto them, so this is the message, be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen, and he is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him, as he said unto you. And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Now, when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast 7 devils. And she went and told them that had been with him, as they mourned and wept. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Ask the Lord's help as we look at the sermon this morning, the first Easter sermon. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we get in preparation to celebrate the resurrection of Christ, Lord, it's something we should celebrate every day. But it's something, Lord, that is set aside specifically on this day that's called Easter, that we remember and even celebrate it in a greater way. Lord, we look forward to next Sunday. Look forward to what you're going to do in our midst. But Lord, we don't want to look past today and look past the message that was given by this angel. Speak to our hearts, Lord, the truths that are found here, and help us to expound and to extol to the people the importance of having understanding what the angel was trying to say. Help us to apply today. You are risen. Lord, it shows a message of power. Help us to understand that with your power, there is a great potential. And Lord, that potential is what you can do through us and with us. In Jesus' name, amen. So in those few short verses, in verse number 7 and in verse number 6, there is some different messages that I believe the angel is teaching them and showing them. And there's 3 different things. There could be a possibility of 4, but we're going to look at specifically 3 different things this morning. First thing I want you to see is when they say in verse number 6, and he saith unto them, talking about the angel, speaking to the ladies, be not affrighted. So the first thing I want you to see here is a message of peace. Always when the angels came and when they saw the different manifestations, it was always the message, look, don't be afraid. Don't be fearful. And it's a message of peace. This is a message that God offers to any of those who believe and any of those who trust in him. He's offering a message of peace. They were always afraid when they saw angels. And can you imagine, not just there this day, can you imagine the 3 days before? Imagine as they watched Jesus Christ die on the cross for our sins, and they watched him be buried. A lot of these women were already there, maybe all of them. They had came, they saw where the tomb was, they were going to come back, they were going to anoint his body. But for those 3 days, the one who they thought was the Messiah, the one who they thought was going to be ruler, the one who they thought was going to bring redemption to their physical lives, was laying in a tomb. And you see the reaction that's there. We went down and we read all the way down to verse number 10. And it says, as they mourned and wept. Those 3 days would have been something that was filled with fear, filled with anxiety, filled with concern about what was going to happen. And it was a time of mourning. What they expected Jesus to do, what they expected Jesus to become, it was all lies. It's something they couldn't understand, something they couldn't figure out. It didn't happen the way they thought it was going to happen. But on that first Sunday morning, on that resurrection day, the angel that they saw, they were afraid of him. And he said, look, don't be afraid. The message of the resurrection is a message of peace. It's a message that teaches us and shows us so much of the understanding we do not have to be afraid. We do not have to be afraid in this world. We don't have to be afraid today because he rose again. Because of the message of peace. Now, over and over in the scriptures, this is the message it offers. I think it's appropriate that the resurrection, you see a message of peace. Because the past 10,000 years, I'm sorry, 2,000 years after his resurrection, the dead is still bringing the same message. This can be a message of peace to our hearts. Think about the peace that Christ offers. In John 14:27, he says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He even says in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." And I know he was saying to these women, look, you don't need to be afraid. But he was telling them, look, you don't need to be afraid of me. But he's also saying, look, you don't need to be afraid in your hearts and in your lives today. Jesus, he is not here. He's risen. Because he's not here, you can have a life of peace. This is what the resurrection means to us. It's the fact that we can have peace because he died for us. Remember, the Bible says, "For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." And we can have peace with God and through God. Now, you think about it. So how do we apply that to today? Well, one of the biggest things that happens in our day and time, there are people who live with anxiety, live with fear. There is a huge market for drugs and for prescription drugs, dealing with people that are struggling with fears and anxieties and worry. Why is that? Because there's not a lot of peace today. Now, God offers peace. Jesus was even telling the disciples in John 14, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you." Philippians chapter 4, and says, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." The resurrection story is a message of peace, because we don't have to live in this world filled with worry and anxiety, because Christ rose again. We know what he said is true. We know he has the power to accomplish what he said. And because of that, we can have a life of peace. We don't have to be torn up inside. We don't have to sit there and worry and be anxious, because we serve a God that had the ability to rise from the dead. He conquered death. He conquered conquered the grave. He conquered hell. He did all those things. And he says, look, I'm going to offer you a life of peace. He says, you don't have to be anxious. You don't have to be worried. He says, I know your every step. I know your every thought. I'm there. And it's the peace of God that passeth all understanding. And that's why he says, don't be careful for anything. Don't worry about things. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made unknown unto God. He says, make your requests known unto me. I'm God. I can take care of those things. So we think about that message of peace. You see, we can have peace because of salvation. The Bible says in Colossians 1:20, "And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven." And Colossians is saying that we've made peace through the blood of his cross. What the Bible is saying here is that if you believe and put your faith and trust in what Jesus Christ did on the cross, when he shed his blood for your sins, you can have peace with God. You can make peace with him. We're enemies, the Bible says, in Romans. Because of our sin, because of our sin nature, we become enemies. But because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross and because of his blood, he was able to now, we can have peace with him. We've made peace with him. It's a message of peace. But there's peace through salvation. But also think about it, there's peace at death. There's peace at death. How many times have we sat at a funeral and we come? And I don't know how many times I preached, not as many funerals as I know as some pastors and ministers or whatever you want to call them. But I sit there and I think about it. When it's a person who I know is a Christian, or I've heard their testimony, or there's hope that they're going to heaven based off their testimony, you know what? There's a great peace there I can offer to people. I can say to people, you know what? This is just his body. He's not here. His soul is up in heaven in the presence of the Lord, or her soul is up in heaven in the presence. And that can offer peace. You can see them again someday if you put your faith and trust in him. There is a message of peace there, not only for at salvation, but also at death. Think about what he said to, I believe it was Mary, in John chapter 11. Jesus said unto her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?" And he was saying to her, he says, you can have peace here. I am the resurrection and the life, is what Jesus was saying. Because I am able to raise from the dead, so will everyone else who have put their faith and trust in me. We were crucified with him. We were buried with him. We rose again with him, is what the Bible teaches us. And because we are in him, we can have hope and we can have that peace. And that's not just peace at death, but peace for all eternity. Praise the Lord for that. When you come and you think about it, and when you see what the angel is teaching them here, the angel is saying to these women, look, be not afraid. And I understand it's because, as the other passages in Scripture talk about how they fell on their knees, they bowed their heads because they were afraid of him. But the message just isn't, look, don't be afraid of me. You don't have to be afraid anymore. Jesus isn't here. He is risen. You know, all those anxieties and all those fears, all those tremblings you had the last 3 days, it doesn't have to be that way anymore. You serve a God who has risen from the grave, and you're going to see him again. And so the truth is, when it comes to our lives, is that we don't have to be afraid. We can have peace because we serve a God that was able to accomplish anything, and he made good on the promise he had, and we can see him again. Peace for all eternity. The Bible says in John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. He's saying that the peace that we have today, because we have peace at salvation, we can have peace in our life. And even at the moment of death, in the shadow of death, we can have peace then. But not just there. It doesn't stop there. But he says that where I am, there ye may be also. I'm preparing a place for you. I'm preparing a mansion for you. I'm preparing that spot in heaven for you. You can have peace. And that's what the angel is saying. It's a message of peace. Second thing is the resurrection story. And the angel is preaching this message here. And he says to him, he says, be not affrighted. He says, ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen, he's not here. So not only is it a message of peace, it's a message of power too. I don't know about you, but there is a true peace of heart when we've placed our faith and trust in one that is able to do all things. It's a message of power. When he looked at those women and he said, look, he's not here, he is risen. You know what it's saying? He did the supernatural. He did the thing that no one else could do. Now, you think about it. He's a pastor. Other people raised from the dead. He's the only one that ever raised from the dead, never to die ever again. You think about it, you know, the widow woman, Nain, the boy died, raised again, but he died. Jairus' daughter was raised again, but he died. Lazarus raised again, but he died. There is only one who has ever raised from the dead, never to die again. No grave could hold him. He has no rival. There is nothing that the power of God cannot do. Ephesians, it says, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. What the Bible is saying here is that what is his exceeding greatness of his power? What is the one mark, or what is the one thing that extinguishes him above any and everyone else? And that power is the power of the resurrection that he was able to raise from the dead. Is something that no one else is able to do. There was no grave that could hold him. There was no sin that could stop, nothing that could stop him. And the Bible speaks over and over about his power. Because he has peace, we can have peace because of the power. He is not here. He's looking at these women and he says, he's not here. He is risen. And in other passages of Scripture, it doesn't say specifically here, but he says, as he said. You know, remember when he told you that. He said it was going to happen. Now he's done what he said. It's the power of God. And the resurrection is a message of power. You think about what the Bible says. And Jeremiah, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Ask yourself that question. Is there anything too hard for God? Is there anything that God can't do? In Ephesians, it says, the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. If he can raise him from the dead, is there anything, if he can raise him from the dead to live forevermore, is there anything that God can do, cannot do? Is there anything that God is not able to do? He says, is there anything too hard for me? The reason why we don't have to fear, the reason why we can have peace, is because there is nothing that's too hard for God. There is nothing that God cannot do. He says in Luke 1:37, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. In Philippians, it says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And Romans 6:8 says, now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Because of his power, we also have so much potential. because of the power. And this is what he's saying here. Look, you've come looking for the dead. Another passage says, why seek ye the living among the dead? And he says, what are you doing here? He's alive. His power is true. He is not here, but he is risen. And it speaks of the power of God, the capability of God, the opportunity God has. And it's so much potential for us today. You know, if we are risen with Christ, listen to what it says in Romans chapter 6. It says, now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey in it the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members of instruments of righteousness unto God. And that's Romans chapter 6, verses 8 through 13. What the scripture is saying there, if we are alive in Christ, sin doesn't have dominion over us anymore. We have the ability to take our bodies and yield them as members of instruments of righteousness. Those sins that you feel like you have to do, those sins that you feel like you have to give into, no, because he died on the cross and because he was buried and because he rose again, he demonstrates the power of God, and that's the potential we have. We do not have to act like that. We do not have to sin like that. We don't have to think about those things. We do not have to say those things. We do not have to do those things. We have great potential because we're in him, because he is not here and he is risen. He demonstrates the power of God, and it shows us the potential we have through him. And when it says, I can do all things through Christ, when it says things such as, is there anything too hard for God? That's what gives us peace. That's what reminds us, hey, I can do all things through Christ. I can live for him. I do not have to sin. I do not have to cave in. I do not have to give in. I can live for him today because his power resides in me with the Holy Spirit of God, and I can reckon myself dead. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. We can have victory because there is the power of God that's demonstrated through the resurrection. Is the same power of God that gives us the ability to overcome the sins that we are tempted with. The power, the message of power. Is there anything that's too hard for God? Is there anything that God cannot do? Last but not least, you see the message of peace, the sermon he preached. You see the message of power. He is not here. He is risen. You also see a message of promise. If you keep on reading there, it says in verse number 7, he says, but go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him as he said unto you. So in Mark chapter 16, verse number 7, he's telling these ladies something. He says, you're going to see him someday. So he says, tell him to go into Galilee. There shall you see him as he said unto you. The angel closed his message to these women by reminding them of the Lord's promise. He reminded them of the words that was said beforehand. They would see him again. This word from the Lord must have lifted their hearts. This word must have thought they were coming to see a dead body in a tomb. They're leaving with hope that they're going to see the risen Savior. You think about it, they think that, hey, I'm coming to this tomb. I don't know how we're going to move the stone away, and there is going to be a dead body there, and in that dead body we're going to take and we're going to pour out our spices and we're going to anoint his body because I don't know who he was, but we loved him. But when they got there, he's not here. He's risen. So the angel looks at him and says, you came looking for the dead. You came looking for that body to anoint. And he says, you're not going to find this, but there's something even better. He says, someday you're going to go and you're going to see him risen. You're going to see him alive in Galilee. He's not here. He's gone. He's risen. He's not here anymore. And you say, Pastor, what's the big deal? It's a promise. He had told him beforehand, he says, this is the promise. You will see me again, that where I am, there you may be also. But he's saying to him, look, you can trust him. For 3 days, they didn't know if they could trust him. For 3 days, they didn't know what was going on. There was weeping, there was mourning, there was preparation, the ointments. They had all intention purposes of heading to that tomb to see a dead body, but instead they saw an angel that says, you're going to see him. You're not going to see him here, though. You're going to see him someday. Praise the Lord for that. And even though we might not get to see him in Galilee someday, more importantly, we're going to see him in glory someday. And it's a promise that he's given us. And we have a promise. Can you imagine the excitement of the ladies? How much their attitudes must have changed. The excitement they must have had. And it says that in verse number 8, for they trembled and were amazed. They were amazed at the things they heard. They were amazed at the things that they saw. And let it not become ritual to you. Let it not become something that is basic. It's something that is we hear over and over that it doesn't mean anything to you. Go back again this week. See the sufferings of Christ. See what he did for you. But imagine what those ladies must have been like, or what those other disciples must have been like when he appeared unto them, and when he saw them for the first time. They were expecting that the last time they would have ever seen him was hung on that cross, beaten and bloodied, but instead they see a resurrected living Savior as a message of peace, as a message of promise, and it's a message of power. So how do we apply that to our lives today? The reason why we can't have peace is because of the power of God. And because of the power of God, we can trust his promises. It works all together. You don't have to be afraid, because you serve a powerful God. And you serve a God who said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. You don't have to be afraid, because you can have peace because of the power of God and because of the promises that he's offered us, that he can take everything and he can make it work together for good. You don't have to be afraid. You can live a life of peace because you serve a powerful God and because he's given you promise that someday you'll be there with him also. Someday you can have eternal life. Someday you'll have everlasting life. All those different things because his power. So as we get ready to celebrate our resurrection, think about these couple things. I want to encourage you to do these things this week. Four different things. First thing I want you to think about is meditate on Christ's sufferings. Before Christ rose from the dead, he allowed himself to experience brutal injustice, horrific pain, and indescribable sorrow. We looked at the cross a few weeks ago, and we looked at the thoughts that were there and what he went through in the garden. And that demonstrates how much he loved us, that he was willing to go through all those things. It demonstrated he loved us. But we also talk about the response to that love. It's just not us knowing, yes, he loved me, he loved me. There should be a response to that. Second thing, not only meditate on Christ's suffering, witness to others. Witness to others. Invite unsaved family and friends and coworkers, neighbors to come to church next Sunday. Many people are busy every other Sunday, but Easter Sunday they'll come. You say, Pastor, I just can't do that. Remember the story. It's a message of peace. It's a message that we can offer others. You could take these verses and you can show them and say, look, they were afraid, but we don't have to be afraid with Jesus. Look, there's a message of power here. He's not here. He's risen. They thought they were coming to see a dead body, but they said because of the power of God, they saw an empty tomb. And it's a message of potential. Because of his power, you know what you can do? You can witness. We talk about having the power over sin, but he's told us to go into all the world and teach and preach the gospel. He's told us and he has enabled us to be able to participate in his outreach and his calling for our life, and that is a calling to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You have a potential, not because of your abilities, not because of your talents, not because of a curriculum you learned. You have potential because of the power of God that he wants to work through you. Those things we're fearful about, those things that we're nervous about, those are things that we can overcome with God's help. Remember, he did not give us a spirit of fear. He gave us a spirit of sound mind. Many are too busy to witness to others. But when you see the power of God, look at the potential you can be with him. Don't see your uneducated, which some of us are when we feel like, I don't know what to say. Don't see your lack of ability or your lack of personality. That is nothing. He raised from the dead. He's not here, he's risen. Consider the potential you have with him. I can do all things through Christ. So this week, as you're considering his sufferings, will we not be willing to witness to others the thing that he asked us to do? He even told these ladies, he told him, he said, go your way, tell his disciples, and look at the response. They went out quickly and fled from the sepulcher. They did what they were told to do. They left. Third thing is rejoice in the resurrection. Rejoice. Don't just meditate on his sufferings to be reminded of his love. It's the love of Christ that constraineth us, that we understand that we need to witness to others, but we rejoice in his resurrection. Consider daily this week what the resurrection means to us. It means that Christianity is real. It means that Jesus is more powerful than sin and death. It means that you have been liberated to not serve sin. It means that you have hope. Those promises. We have hope today because his body was not there. And when he told those ladies that message, he says, he's not here, he's risen. The potential, he's alive. Those ladies would never, they didn't ever, ever consider it. He's alive. That changes everything. We are coming to anoint a dead body, but he's alive. That means everything he said was true. That means heaven's real. That means he was the Messiah. He was the one. Everything changes based off the resurrection. And that was the potential and the hope and the promises that angel's message was. So not only meditate on the sufferings, witness to others, rejoice in the resurrection. Pray for an opportunity to lead someone to Christ. Pray for an opportunity to lead someone to Christ. What better way to celebrate the resurrection than to see someone to turn from darkness to light? To see someone that was hopelessly in bondage of sin to the joyful freedom of salvation. Pray for that. When's the last time you said, Lord, use me to bring someone to Christ? This week, Lord, help me bring someone to Christ. Give me the opportunity to talk to someone. Last but not least, encourage new believers. Encourage all believers, but new believers. You know, 1 Thessalonians 2:8, Paul says, so being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us. Find someone, young or old, to be an encouragement to. Find someone that you can share this message with. Find someone that you can lift up about the excitement of the resurrection. There's people out there that need to be encouraged that maybe don't come to church. Maybe the week is hard sometimes. The week can be tough. You can go through and get beat up by people all the time. Find someone you can encourage and say, he is risen. He is alive. We have a message of peace, a message of power, and a message of promise. And we have so much potential because he is not here. He is risen. This morning, make a commitment to God that as he leads you, you'll tell somebody about him this week. That you'll rejoice in the resurrection of our Savior. And that we'll encourage other believers, especially new believers, that Satan is so much after in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This morning, the sermon, the first Easter sermon, it was a message of peace, power, and promise. Can you hold to that promise today? Has there been a day and time in your life when you've asked Christ into your heart as your Savior? There is no other way to heaven. He came and he suffered and died, and he was buried and he rose again. It's powerful. It's a demonstration. There's promises that are attached to that, but have you ever put your faith and trust in him? I'm not saying have you ever said a prayer. I'm saying have you ever saw yourself as a sinner in need of a Savior and cried out to God and said, God, please forgive me of my sins. I see what you did for me on the cross, and I put my faith and trust in your finished work, and I'm accepting you as my Savior. Understanding the conviction of God on your heart, crying out to him. If you haven't done that, let me encourage you. In just a moment, you can come forward. We'll have somebody take a Bible and show you how you can be saved and on your way to heaven. To those in the room that are Christ's followers, that know Christ, let's be as excited as those women that first day again, to go out and tell somebody else. Let us see and be amazed at the fact that he's not here, he's risen, but we're amazed by the power of God and the potential we can have with God. What can one person do with God? We've seen throughout all the Bible, they can make a big difference. And what we are with him is a majority. The power of God equates to the potential that he can do with us. Don't sit there and make up excuses. Instead, rest in the promises and power of God. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet.